Exodus chapter 15. One thing that can be very common to many of us, maybe some wouldn't want to admit it, is that we can easily forget things. There was a seven-year-old boy that was living with his grandparents, and they didn't really realize the effect that they were having on their seven-year-old grandson. But one day he did pretty bad on his math test, and his teacher asked him, you know, why he did so poorly on his, or did so badly on his math test. And he said, he answered with, "I must have been having a senior moment." You know, we forget things easily. Sometimes maybe we don't like to admit it. There was one man, said, "Age hasn't affected my memory a bit. In fact, I can't even remember the last time I forgot something." It was a statement one person made. Forgetting. This is the time of year that we offer Thanksgiving. But one of the biggest hindrances to Thanksgiving is our forgetting. One of the greatest hindrances in our lives to properly praising God like we ought and having a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of praise in our lives, is that we forget. I'd like us to begin in Exodus chapter 15. And Exodus chapter 15 happens right after Exodus chapter 14. And what took place in Exodus chapter 14? Well, the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. I mean, what an amazing thing. As God divided the waters of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel were able to walk across on dry land. I mean, what an amazing miracle. You know, they had the walls of water, you know, on either side of them as they walked down. You know, there's one word in here describes it as, you know, like the depths were congealed in the midst of the seas. Verse number 8, and the flood stood upright as in heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Like the water was like thickened, that it just stood upright. And I think of making jello and it just thickens. And what an amazing thing, as they're able to just walk through this dry ground. And after this took place, there was a song. It says in Exodus 15, verse 1, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him." Notice the praise that is taking place as they sing unto the Lord, as they lift up his name. You think of Psalm number 40. And let's just turn there briefly. We'll come back to Exodus. Psalm number 40. In verse number 1, Psalm 40, verse 1, says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." And notice the result. "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." So here the psalmist in Psalm number 40 had been provided a great deliverance. God had provided him a great deliverance on his behalf. And what was the result? There was a song in his heart, a song that God put there. Here we see this song that was in the hearts of the people as God delivered them from the Egyptian army, as he provided this great miracle for them as they were able to go across the Red Sea on dry land. And not only were they able to go across the Red Sea on dry land, but as the Egyptians, you know, it says in Hebrews, were essaying to do, they drowned. And God brought the waters back down and defeated the Egyptian army. So God provided a great deliverance. And the result of this was what? They praised God. They had a song in their hearts that was a result of the working of God in their lives. You know, you need a song in your heart? Well, start looking at God's work. Allow God to work through your life. And guess what? There's going to be a song there. And so here was this great deliverance. I mean, amazing deliverance. They thought they were going to be dead. They thought they were going to be gone, you know, by the Egyptian army. But yet God provided this great deliverance. But then I'd like us to look later on in the chapter. And it says in verse number 22. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So notice that, 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So here we have them going from praising God to doing what? To complaining. And how many days? 3 days. Now don't you think if you were standing at the waters of the Red Sea and you saw the waters of the Red Sea part, you were able to walk across on dry land? I mean, we're not just talking like the Mequonago River here. All right, this is the Red Sea. I mean, if the Mequonago River did it, I think you would be quite amazed. But this is the Red Sea. All right, and I mean, it was big enough, obviously, that the whole Egyptian army could be in there and be drowned. And 3 days later, they're complaining because they don't have water. Now, obviously, a couple million people needing water, that's a lot of water. You know, if they only drank one quart per person per day, that's 500,000. Well, let's see here. If they only drank, one quart, that's 500,000 gallons of water. That's a lot of water. I mean, that's one quart. Then you figure, you know, they probably had animals. The animals had a drink. You know, you have lots of water that was needed to supply them going through the desert. So without water, you know, what are they going to do? And what do? They complained. Let's go to chapter 16. Of Exodus. Exodus chapter 16. And it says here at the beginning, and they took their journey from Elim and all the... Now, God provided them the water, turned the bitter water sweet. Chapter 16, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. So now it's been around a month, maybe slightly over a month, but around a month. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. So they left in the first month. And I guess I don't have the exact day they left, but it's been a month, over a month now that they've gone, but it's been less than 2 months. And it says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, what does God do? Well, he provides for them. But remember, I mean, think of the miracles that God did while they were in Egypt. Think of the fact that he already had provided water in turning the bitter water sweet. But the children of Israel had a problem, and that problem is clearly given to us in Psalm 106. Turn over, please, to Psalm 106. You know, and if you're not having an attitude of praise, if you're not having a heart of thankfulness, what do you fall into? Well, what did the children of Israel do? They started complaining. If we go over to Psalm 106, we see what took place in their lives. If we let's go down to verse number 7. It says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. So before the Red Sea, I think they were, you know, complaining, would God we had died in Egypt. You know, it says, they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. Notice verse, it also says, they understood not his wonders. Look, go to verse number 13. Let's start in verse 12. It says, then believed they his words. They sang his praise. All right, so right after the Red Sea, what were they doing? They believed his words. They sang his praise. Verse 13. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Go down to verse 20, 21. It says, they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. You know, what was one of the problems of the children of Israel? Forgetfulness. I mean, God did these amazing things, and then it left their thinking. You know, they didn't live life based upon what God had already accomplished in their lives. They either didn't understand it, or they forgot it, or it was both of them. They didn't understand it, and they forgot about it. You know, we can forget so easily. You know, roller coaster, or forgetful Christians are roller coaster Christians. And that's what I kind of see with the children of Israel. You know, man, they're going down fast, and then, you know, they get to the top, they're just going up and down. And one moment they're at the top praising God, and then they're down in the valley, just like that. And then there's the slow climb back up. And then they get to the top, and they're right back at the bottom. You know, they're up and down. Many times that's what we're like. Why? Because we forget. You know, people, God's working in their life. They start coming to church faithfully. God's working in their family. They're making decisions for the Lord. And then they forget. They forget what God did. And they start going backwards. You know, have you forgotten what God has done in your life? It says over in Psalm 105, verse number 5. It says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Over in Psalm 104, verse number 33 says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Now that verse number 33 takes place after he's recounting all these wonderful things about God. You know, if we would take time to stop and think and remember what God has done, what are we going to do? It's going to result in praise. But the problem is we don't take time to stop and think and remember what God has done in our lives. And so we forget. And then what are we doing? We're complaining. We develop sour attitudes. We need to stop and remember. Psalm 103. Verse number 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, God's commanded us. Don't forget the benefits of God. They're numerous. There's many of them. So many things that we have to be thankful for. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Are you thankful that God has forgiven, if you're saved, all your iniquities? I mean, really, in a way, Christians should never have a bad day, should they? Because if you're saved, there's never a day that God hasn't forgiven positionally all your iniquities. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You know, they may not be all healed sometimes in this life, but someday we're going to receive that glorified body and they're all going to be healed. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. We have much to be thankful for, but one of the problems is that we forget. We need to remember our salvation. We need to remember significant steps of spiritual growth that have taken place in our lives. We need to remember times of protection. You know, sometimes maybe you just need to stop and think and remember the times that God has protected you. Now, there's probably lots of times you've forgotten, you know, driving down the road. There's probably lots of times you don't even know about times that God has protected you. But we forget. We need to remember times of spiritual revival that have taken place. We need to remember times of healing. We need to remember times that God has worked in our family. Do we remember? Or does the same forgetfulness that characterizes our everyday life, does it characterize our spiritual life? You know, why do people go backwards spiritually? Many times it's because they have forgotten. They've forgotten how God brought them to the place that they are. And if they would simply remember and reflect upon how God brought them to the place that they are, there would be so many more people that wouldn't go backwards spiritually. But we so easily forget. And tonight, God wants us to remember. You know, in Revelation, what's one of the commands to the churches in Revelation? Remember from whence thou art fallen, and what? Repent and do the first works. You know, tonight, if you feel yourself slipping back spiritually, you need to remember. Maybe you need to remember back to the point in your life where you were going forward, where you were on fire for God, where you were living for God. Maybe you need to just stop and remember. You know, the next time you're tempted to complain about all the good things that God has done and accomplished for you in your life, maybe you need to stop and reflect on all that Christ has accomplished for us. Forgetting. You know, forgetting is something that we say, well, lots of people forget. And there's lots of people that forget. I mean, I forgot to make the announcement about the, the offering, you know. What was the other thing I forgot tonight? I can't remember. You know, it's so easy to forget. And so because it's so easy to happen, we kind of excuse it. But, you know, and sometimes on the physical aspects of life, maybe it's not so important. But spiritually, it's so important that we don't forget. And it's good to take, to step back and to remember. You know, why did God bring me to this church? You know, how was God working in my life when He brought me to the place I am spiritually? And you know, people forget about that. And then they make decisions, and then 5 years later down the road, those decisions have become cemented in their lives. And it's so hard for them to get back to where they once were. And I challenge you tonight, don't forget. You know, this Thanksgiving season, remember. Remember how God worked in your life. Remember what Christ has done. Remember how you were brought to this place spiritually. And don't allow a great spiritual victory to be forgotten. And then 3 days later, you make a terrible decision because you weren't remembering what God had done on your behalf. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us to remember. Lord, there's the songwriter that said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Lord, how we are prone to wander, how we are prone to forget what You have done. And Lord, You have worked so many things. You have done so many things in our lives. And Lord, may You forgive us for our negative attitudes. May You forgive us for our complaining. Lord, when You have done so many good things on our behalf. And Lord, may at this time of year, may we stop and remember. And Lord, may we be filled with hearts of thanksgiving for what You have done. Lord, may it transform our families. Lord, and instead of that complaining, may we have hearts of gratefulness. Lord, it's hard to be bitter. It's hard to be angry when we're thankful and when we recognize and remember all the good things that you have done on our behalf. Lord, may we, instead of reacting the next time something goes wrong, may we stop and reflect and remember, Lord, all the good things that you have done for us. We pray these things in Christ's name.